Welcome to Bible Talk, the program that gives Bible answers to Bible questions. This program is brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. Your speaker is Lynn Huggins, preacher with the St. James Church of Christ.
The question that we have been addressing for the past couple of weeks is, what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? The Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 10, verse 39, "But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition, but of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." Well, what does it mean to have faith unto the saving of the soul? Well, the Hebrew writer answers this question for us in chapter 11. He defines faith in verse 1 as an assurance of things hoped for, a conviction of things not seen. You see, faith is a firm conviction in God and in what He says. It is not a wishy-washy, I think so kind of faith. And then the Hebrew writer proceeds in chapter 11 to show us what it means to have this faith by showing us the effect this faith had in the lives of various men and women, such as Abel, Noah, Abraham, Sarah, and so on. When we learn what faith did in their lives, we will know what it means to have faith in our lives. Now, we're not taking the time to look at all the examples of faith in Hebrews chapter 11, but just a few to help us understand the nature of this faith, which is essential unto the saving of our souls. Well, last week, we talked about the faith of Abel, recorded in verse 4. His faith led him to offer sacrifices acceptable to God. And if we have faith unto the saving of the soul, we will learn what sacrifices pleases God under the new covenant, and then offer those sacrifices. Well, today we want to look at the faith of Noah, recorded in verse 7. It says, "By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith." From this verse, we learn, number one, that Noah was warned of God concerning something he had never seen. And secondly, we learn that Noah believed what God said. And thirdly, because Noah believed God, he moved with godly fear and did what God said by preparing an ark for the saving of his household. From the Genesis account of this story, we learn that God warned Noah of the coming flood 120 years before it occurred, Genesis 6 and verse 3. And we also learn the reason God determined to destroy man and the earth with this flood. It says in verses 5 through 7 here of Genesis chapter 6, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. So the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and birds of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them." But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord, it says in verse 8. And verse 9 says, "Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God." Therefore, God provided a way whereby Noah and his family could be saved. God told Noah to make yourself an ark of gopher wood, verse 14. Now, the ark was a large boat, and God told him how to make it. It was to be made out of gopher wood. He told him how long and how wide and how high it was to be. It was to have three decks or three stories. He told him to make rooms in the ark and put a window in it and a door in its side. God also told him to bring animals into the ark, two of every kind, a male and his female. And of the clean animals, it was to be seven of each, a male and his female. God told him to take for himself and his family of all food that is eaten. And then verse 22 says, "Thus Noah did according to all that God commanded him, so he did." Now, everything which Noah did in response to the warning of God was done because he believed God. You see, Noah trusted God. It was not because he could show from the course of events that things were tending to such a catastrophe. There were as yet no natural indications that such an event as a worldwide flood would ever occur. And also, it was not because such an event had occurred before rendering it probable that it would be likely to occur again. And it was not because this was the common belief of men in that day, and so it was easy for Noah to fall into this belief himself. You see, Noah did what he did because of what God said. You see, he put unwavering confidence on the truth of the divine declaration. The Word of God was the only ground of evidence, and his faith prompted him to heed the warning of God and to act accordingly. And it is so today. There are no visible signs of the coming of the Lord to judge the world. There is no visible evidence that when he comes, the righteous will go into eternal life and the unrighteous will go into eternal punishment. Yet, the true believer, the one who has faith unto the saving of the soul, acts as if it were so, resting upon the sure Word of God. You see, God has given us warning in His Word of a coming judgment. Look with me at a few passages of Scripture. First, in Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, here Jesus presents to us the judgment scene. He says, beginning with verse 31, "When the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then He will sit on the throne of His glory. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And He will set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the King will say to those on His right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" In verse 41, Jesus says, "Then He will also say to those on the left hand, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels.'" In verse 46, "And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." And so Jesus here is telling us that the day of judgment is coming. In 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter says that there were scoffers in his day who were saying, "Where is the promise of His coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." Peter says that these scoffers willfully forget something. One thing they forget is the flood. They forget God's judgment in the days of Noah. And then Peter goes on to say in verses 7 and 8, "But the heavens and the earth, which are now preserved by the same word, are reserved for fire until the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men." And in verse 9, Peter says, "The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." You see, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise. He is coming in judgment. So why hasn't He come? Well, Peter says it's because of His long-suffering. He is not willing that anyone should perish. He is giving people time to repent. You see, in the days of Noah, God gave the people 120 years from the day He announced the judgment is coming until the flood came. You see, they had plenty of time to repent. These are the days when the divine long-suffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared that Peter talks about in 1 Peter 3 and verse 20. And in 2 Peter 2 and verse 5, Noah is called a preacher of righteousness. And so evidently, during those 120 years, while the long-suffering of God waited, Noah was preaching to the people, calling upon them to repent. If anyone repented in those days, they died before the flood came, because only Noah and his family were saved in the ark. Everyone else in the world refused to heed the warning of God and make preparation for judgment, and they perished in the flood. Well, today, the Lord has given us warning of His coming. And He hasn't told us when He's coming, but He has said that He will come. And people of faith will do what Noah did. They will heed the warning of God and act accordingly. They will move with godly fear and obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. You see, God is giving us time to repent. His long-suffering is waiting in these days. And now is the time that we need to render obedience to the gospel of Christ. And those who do so will then live by faith, so that they are ready whenever the Lord may come. Paul said in 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 9, "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with His mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. For those who know not God and who obey not the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the day of the Lord's coming will be a dreadful day. After Peter mentions that in the day of the Lord's coming, the heavens will pass away with a great noise and the elements will melt with fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up, he then says, "Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness?" 2 Peter 3, verses 10 and 11. The person of faith is convinced that this day of judgment will arrive, and therefore he moves with godly fear and strives to make sure his conduct is characterized by holiness and godliness. You know, there are those today who teach universal salvation, that is, all will be saved and go to heaven. There are those who contend that God's grace in the judgment day will cover the sins of the disobedient and rebellious, and that all will be able to wear that crown of life. Well, don't be deceived. Paul said in Galatians 6, verses 7 and 8, "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life." You know, if a farmer sows wheat, he will reap wheat. If he sows corn, he will reap corn. A person reaps what he sows. And if a person sows to his flesh, that is, he fulfills the lust of the flesh in his life as they did in the days of Noah, then he will reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, by allowing the Holy Spirit to direct his life through the word that the Spirit has revealed, then he will reap everlasting life. So don't be deceived. Whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. Well, Noah believed God and therefore moved with godly fear and did what God said. He built the ark just as God commanded. Well, today, those who have faith unto the saving of the soul will believe God and do what God says. You know, Jesus died for our sins. But in order to be saved by Jesus' death, we must come to Him and obey Him. Read Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9. And also Jesus said in Matthew 7, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." You see, preparing for judgment requires more than just believing Jesus is Lord. We must do the will of the Father. The Father tells us to believe in Jesus, John 8 and verse 24, to repent of our sins, Acts 3, verse 19, to confess our faith in Jesus, Romans 10, verses 9 and 10, and to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. And then also to remain faithful, Hebrews 10, verses 36 through 39. Well, have the faith of Noah. Move with godly fear. Prepare for the coming of the Lord. If you would like a free audio CD copy of today's program, or of any of our Bible Talk broadcasts, then just give us your name and address along with the title of the program you would like a copy of, and we'll be glad to send it to you absolutely free of charge. Also, if you have a question that you would like for us to address on a future program, we would like to hear from you. There are three ways that you may send in your request or ask your questions. You may email it in. Our email address is sjchurch@sjchurchofchrist.com. Or you may call it in. Our telephone number is 573-265-8628. Or you may mail it in through the U.S. Postal Service. The address is Bible Talk, P.O. Box 308, St. James, Missouri, 65559.
You have been listening to Bible Talk, brought to you by the St. James Church of Christ in St. James. You're invited to the services of the St. James Church of Christ, Sunday morning at 9:30 for Bible classes and 10:15 for worship, Sunday evening at 5 for worship, Wednesday night Bible classes at 7. The church building is located at 685 Sydney Street in St. James, where Sydney Street and Highway B intersect. Thank you for listening, and join us again next week at the same time for Bible Talk.